this on backwards. There we go.
Good to see everyone this morning. Of course, we've entered into the 4th of July weekend and its celebrations and so forth. And if you're like me, you can't help but think back to the founding of our country and its declaration of independence from England. Possibly the most recognized portion of that declaration is found in the second paragraph, where we read, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." These words have always impressed me because they show the mindset of our founding fathers. Were they godless, selfish, self-centered people that many history classes, especially in college and so forth, many of the universities are trying to depict our founding fathers as people who didn't really believe in God, and they were just businessmen, and they were just trying to make their own way and so forth. You'll find that they pledged to each other their faithfulness and their fortunes, and many of them lost their fortunes because of this Declaration of Independence. But these words here, I think, show us that these were men who believed in God, that they believed that God had blessed them. And I want to consider with you that these words of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that they had an understanding of the source of all of those as well. Have you ever wondered what an unalienable right is? Well, it's an unchangeable right. It's an absolute right. Why did they consider these things to be absolute and unchangeable? Well, they explained it themselves in another portion of where they didn't leave open to interpretation in the minds of other people what these words meant. They defined the words themselves. And this is what they said. "By the absolute rights of individuals is meant those which are so in their primary and strictest sense, such as would belong to their persons merely in a state of nature, and which every man is entitled to enjoy, whether out of society or in it. The rights of personal security, of personal liberty, and private property do not depend on the Constitution for their existence. They existed before the Constitution was made, or the government was organized. These are what are termed as absolute rights of individuals, which belong to them independently of all government, and which all governments, which derive their power from the consent of the governed, were instituted to protect." So he's saying that these rights aren't granted to us by our government. These rights are granted to us by God Almighty, by nature, by the one who created us, that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I want to look at the source of each of these, of life and of liberty and of happiness. Jesus is indeed the source of life. He is the Word of life. John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And verse 14 explains that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh. We knew Him as Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Son of God. But notice that in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In Him was physical life, and in Him also is spiritual life. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 28, we find that Peter quotes the words of David, where David said, "You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." God makes known to us the ways of life. Philippians 2 and verse 16, we're told to hold fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain nor labored in vain. We have the word of life. Let us hold fast to it. Jesus, of course, is the word of life. He is the water of life. You'll remember in John chapter 4 that Jesus met with a woman of Samaria, and that He entered into conversation, "Would you give me something to drink?" And she entered into, a questioning and so forth. And in that conversation, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." In Revelation chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8, He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Clearly, Jesus is the water of life. He is the bread of life. John chapter 6 and verses 32 through 35, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." They are in conversation and they were saying, "Well, God gave our forefathers bread from heaven. Give us bread." And Jesus said, "Moses didn't give you the bread. Moses didn't give you the manna. My Father gave you the manna." And that was just food. That was just bread that fed your physical body and its needs. "But I am the true bread that have come down from the Father. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." We see here that Jesus is indeed the bread of life. He is the water of life. He is the word of life. He is the source of all life. As we notice here in John chapter 8 and verse 12, very similar to what we noticed in John chapter 1, Jesus spake to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Have you ever known something to grow and have life that's in constant darkness? No, to have life, it must be exposed to light. And here again, Jesus says, "I am the source of that light of life." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 simply says, "He who has the Son has life." If we want to pursue life genuinely, fully, and completely, then we need to realize that that life is in Jesus Christ. That's why He uses all of these things that we realize that are necessary for us to sustain us physically, but they are also necessary to sustain us spiritually. Yes, we need light physically. We need bread physically. We need water physically. But Jesus is these all of these things spiritually, in that He is the Word of life, who gives life and meaning to all. Jesus is the source of liberty. In Isaiah chapter 61, in the first two verses we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." You remember that shortly after Jesus was baptized and went through His temptation in the wilderness, that He returned to Galilee and specifically returned to Nazareth. And on the Sabbath day, He entered into the synagogue and read this prophecy of Isaiah in their hearing. Having read it, He closed the book and sat down, and they all looked at Him. And He began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Luke chapter 4 and verse 21. Jesus is the one who proclaims liberty to those who are captive. Just as the children of Israel were captive in Egypt, we are captive in our sins. And without Christ making that way of liberty for us and setting us free from our sins, we would still be in captivity. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21 says, "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In James 1, verses 21 and 22, and then down to verse 25, it says, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Where is this liberty found? It's found in Christ. It's expressed to us in the Word of God. We hear of this liberty from God's Word. We can read it, hear it, learn it, know it, but we will not be set free until we begin practicing it in our life. We must not only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Continue in this perfect law of liberty. Happiness is found in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." Where there is no what if God had never spoke to us? What if God had never said, "You are created in my image. You have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I created you to be holy, to be pure, to be loving. You've fallen short of that, but I've loved you enough that I gave my only son to pay the price for your sins, so that you might not die, but that you might have life and liberty and happiness once again. That you can fulfill your purpose." These words are words of revelation. They are words of life to us. What if God never gave these to us? Where would we be? We would be lost in our sins. Without revelation, the people cast off all restraint. The people will practice sin. but happy is he who keeps the law. God has given us this word to keep it, so that we might be happy, that we might know that we are fulfilling our purpose in life, just as everything else in God's creation fulfills its purpose. In Psalm 144 and verse 15, it says, "Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." Friend, who is your God? Is your God the Lord God Almighty? Or is your God the things of this world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the accumulation of things, the accumulation of power, the accumulation of money, the accumulation of the things that are here upon the earth. Is that your God? Are you genuinely happy? Are you truly happy? Do you feel fulfilled? We need to realize and we need to acknowledge the truth that is presented here, that we will not be happy until the one true God is indeed our Lord and our Savior. Psalm 146 and verse 5 says, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Proverbs 16 and verse 20, "He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." We can pursue life, liberty, and happiness. These are not just words. These are not just things that some men sat around a couple hundred years ago and said, "These are the things that are most meaningful to us." I believe these men were men who read the Scriptures, who were familiar with some very basic teaching of Scripture, that they realized that life, that Jesus is the light of life, the bread of life, the water of life, that He is the Word of life. And I want you to think about the fact that this country is based upon these principles that are taught to us in the Word of God, that our laws protect us in our country based upon we should treat each other as we would want to be treated. What has happened to our country in the past few decades? They have left the Word of God. They no longer revere it and read it and practice it. Many make fun of it and ridicule it without ever honestly examining whether it is true or not. And what is the result in our nation? Life is not as good in America as it once was. Life is not as good as it was when we revered God and honored one another. Now, it's the law of the jungle. It's almost every person for themselves. It's what I want. You need to realize, and I need to realize, that the pursuit of happiness is not defined by what makes me happy, what I think makes me happy. You know, many people today are appealing for their rights to be happy, but what they say makes them happy, God identifies as sin, an abhorred sin. And the pursuit of sin will never bring happiness. But we have the right to pursue happiness. We have the right to pursue liberty. We have the right to pursue life. But we need to realize that each of these are found in Christ. Are you in Christ or are you out of Christ? It's either one or the other. Well, how would I know if I was in or out of Christ? Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." You might say, "Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." James said in James chapter 2, "That's good. The demons also believe and tremble." Yes, it takes more than an affirmation that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We must follow through. We must put our trust in Him and obey Him if we are going to be happy. And so, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you will perish. We need to turn around. We need to turn from our way of life to God's way of life. We need to turn from our death, actually, to the life that is in Christ Jesus. We need to turn to the light of life, the bread of life, the water of life, and be found practicing the word of life in our lives to be set free and to be happy. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Friend, have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because you've turned from the things that you thought made you happy, but you realize that you weren't happy in the practice of those things? You needed to turn to the light of life. You needed to drink of the water of life. You needed to partake of the bread of life and walk in the word of life. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, would you please do so today while you have this opportunity? If you're here today and a child of God and things are amiss in your life, can we pray with you and for you? If you're subject to the invitation in any way at all, would you please come as we stand and sing the song?